I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
And we're back. It is Wednesday. It is hump day. That means it is Awkward Sex in the City new episode release day, which means you're here with me and Awkward Sex in the City. I don't know why I paused like that. It is a solo episode today because I do love the sound of my own voice. And I have a bad habit of waiting till the last minute to book. And even with all this time, I never learn. I went outside yesterday with to go biking without sunblock. And Aaron was like, it's so funny how you never learn, because this is what I did as a child too. And we get blistering sunburns, the size of quarters. It was awful. But it was my fault. I was just being lazy. And I just did not feel like putting on sunblock. And it was also a very perfect day and it wasn't too hot. And the bike loop in Prospect Park is mostly shaded. So I was like, it's fine. It's fine. And you know what? I didn't fucking get sunburned. And I am so pale. I am your pale hostess with emesis. I don't tan. I get sunburn. It's red, and then it goes right back to this pink tinge in my skin tone. No one cares. Who cares? I don't even care. It's fine. First off, though, thank you guys for coming back. While you're here, while you're on Apple iTunes or Apple Podcasts, because they split iTunes and podcasts, I don't even fucking know anymore. Rate, subscribe, review, and share with your friends. There's a little dot, 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 and it's copy link. On top of liking and reviewing and sharing, I do have very fun news for me. I don't know about for you. I started a Patreon because your girl would like to get paid and not have to do retail ever again. And, you know, just live the dream off of my brain and my art. And real quick, no pressure. Awkward Sex and City will always be a free podcast to download. All that comes with the Patreons are perks, right? Maybe you just want to support. That's cool. you'll get shout outs, you'll get emails. Maybe you want a little bit more. That means you'd get like discounts on live shows whenever live shows are a thing again. Cannot truly wait. Do you want to learn how to tell a story? There's that. I can give you lessons. Blah, 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 blah. Am I selling myself well? No, that's okay. I've never been that good at it. I'm learning though to just be like, but this is what it is. Do it. So if you want, after you rate and you like and you subscribe and you share with your friends, go on to Patreon and, you know, support your girl if you want to, if you have the funds to. Again, there is absolutely no fucking pressure. I get it. But if you wanna, I love it. Cool. Great. Awesome. So we're gonna start the episode. And I'm not gonna lie. Don't know what this episode is going to be about. Obviously, a lot is happening still. Sad shit. Protesters being murdered. And the right seeming totally fine with that. Per usual, like, this isn't new. We lost Black Panther to colon cancer. And I do want to talk about that a little bit. Colon cancer does run in my family. And this, for me, I don't know if you agree. I don't know if I'm... No, I'm not crazy. This is how I feel. This year in particular has really highlighted like how fucked up like America is, like how little we receive in help, even though we do pay taxes, how fucked up our healthcare system is, how people get denied shit. People get denied tests, and a lot of these tests would catch things way earlier and would stop a lot of death. Let's get right to it. Would stop a lot of death. And so, like I said, colon cancer runs in my family. And because of that, I have like the golden ticket, right? All I have to say, like every time I've been like, I want a colonoscopy, the doctors look me up and down and go, you're too young. And I go, cool. It was in my dad at 30 and they found it at 40. And they were like, got it. Here you go. Here's everything you need, blah, 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 blah. So I have the golden ticket. But I've totally said this in the past. I take my gut health very, very, like very importantly or very seriously. And that is like, that's also like a privilege, right? All of these things are a privilege. I am a white woman. It is easier to get what I need from a doctor as a white woman than it would be for any other race as a woman, and any other race that isn't white. And that's obviously not okay. This isn't okay. It's part of the reason why I like burn it all fucking down, because no one should be denied any type of medical care. Your fucking health insurance should not be tied to your goddamn job, as we watch millions of people lose their health care because they got laid off by all these fucking companies. I guess what I wanted to say was like, I want you guys to take colon cancer seriously too. It used to be that the average age when doctors would recommend you to start getting tested for colonoscopies was 50. I think they're starting to lower it to 40 because it is popping up in young adults more and more. I kind of keep an eye on colon cancer things. My dad just had, let me back up. We were very lucky. Like I said, they caught it in my dad at 40, but the doctors think they had it in his body since he was 30, but it was just such a slow growing cancer that was only at stage 2 when they caught it. And truly, when I got my first colonoscopy, the doctor, my dad was there, and the doctor was like going over like, I don't know, like my dad's history. And the doctor literally said to my father, you should be dead right now. Like, what? So anyways, I got a colonoscopy. My first one was at age 20. I was either 20 or like I had just turned 21. And I've talked about this. I know I've talked about my first colonoscopy on the podcast, so I'm not going to put you through that again. Don't worry. But so my dad had his, I think now he's down to like every 5 years. He used to have to get a colonoscopy every year. And he got a colonoscopy and they found a polyp. And you know what happens? They just you know, take the polyp out and it's gone. But when people are like denied these tests, the polyps grow and grow and grow and then turn into a bigger cancer. And then maybe it's now like in other organs of your body or it's in your lymph nodes. This like not good. So get a colonoscopy. Just do it. And I'm only speaking about colonoscopies and colon cancer because I just have like personal experience with it. And I just feel as if I have like a little bit more information on it than maybe you do. But this, like, no, it just shouldn't happen to anyone. It's so sad that we lost him so young. I mean, it's just like so many things, right? Like, are tied to this death that, like, you know, colon cancer, the highest rates of colon cancer are in Black men. And it's very much because they get denied testing. People aren't taken seriously by their doctors. Because racism exists in hospitals, as we can all see. This was like a really hard one. This is a really hard one. It just really highlighted like so many things wrong, right? Like, to be honest, when they were reporting that like he didn't tell anyone about it, my first question was, did he not tell Marvel because he knew they wouldn't cast him? This whole idea that like insurance gets denied or is much higher when you have a quote unquote pre-existing condition, which is literally like life or death. Then what is the point of healthcare then if it just gets denied? And I remember I read like some BuzzFeed, like 17 things Europeans find weird about Americans. Which one, fair. But one of them was like, why Americans don't go to the hospital for things. And they're right. Like, majority of us don't go to the hospital when we should because we know it's going to cost too much because we don't have health insurance. And that is a terrible, terrible system. And it's why I stopped supporting Elizabeth Warren when she backed away from Medicare for All. I was like, no, go fuck yourself. I mean, all of them suck. But I was just furious. Like, we can't deny people a basic right, human right. And I'm not going to be made to feel bad for thinking people deserve basic human rights, that everyone deserves basic human rights. Another thing that popped into my brain when we all collectively found out Saturday night that he had passed away was that thinness has nothing to do with health. It doesn't. Thin people, quote unquote, healthy looking people get cancer all the fucking time. And people will sit there and tell you it's your diet and it's this and it's that. And it's not. I mean, maybe diet can help sometimes, like can slow down a process. But like, y'all, if colon cancer is in my genes, like if it's in my DNA, like I'm getting colon cancer. I just hope that I'm, you know, proactive enough and I have health insurance to catch it in time before it gets too bad. Same with breast cancer. And so for people to sit there and be like, if you're fat, you're unhealthy and health. It's just they aren't equal. They're not synonymous. It's a lie that we've been taught forever. It's fat phobic. It's racist. It's all the phobias, right? It's so fucked up. And I'm saying this as someone who currently weighed herself this morning and was upset at the number that she saw because it is so ingrained in our bodies, especially women, to hit this certain weight, look this certain way. Like, you know, since 2014, I have gained like 40 pounds. But I'm also privileged in where I've gained the weight, right? Like I still have like an hourglass figure, which is what is perceived as like the beauty standard. And like, where does that come from? It comes from racism. It's so hard to get yourself out of that. I currently am like kind of like the most active I've been in years. Like I do yoga on a daily basis. I've like never done yoga on a daily basis. Me and Aaron like walk like five miles a day, like almost every day, because like we don't walk anymore because we're in our apartments so much. And I would say I probably averaged around like 4 miles walking every day before the pandemic. You're just in a walking city. Like walking's like really good for you. Like I biked like 5 miles yesterday, and then I walked 5 miles yesterday, and I gained weight, and I was furious. And then I had to be like, Natalie, why the fuck are you mad? Like, you're healthy. You eat super well. And like, most likely my weight gain is from my IUD and the meds that I'm on for my migraines. And I don't have migraines anymore, though I did get one yesterday. This is an aside, and I don't know if other people go through this with migraines, but when they were bad, I wouldn't exercise because exercising would make them worse. And my neurologist was like, I know, but you need to push through because your body's going to get used to these movements, to this exercise, and it's going, the more you exercise, the better it is for your migraines. That's part of the reason why I do yoga. Like yoga for some reason is like really good for migraines, and I can like actively feel the difference. And like, that's why I'm doing it, not to lose weight, but to like take care of my body. Where was I going with this? But so yesterday I like did more than I normally do biking. Like I pushed myself biking and like immediately got a migraine for like the rest of the day. And I was just like, just remember, like, it's gonna go away and it's good for, like, your body's getting used to it. And it did. It went away. I'm fine today. I used to get, like, terrible migraines, like, the next day from exercise. And it was just like, why? Anywho, this isn't anything that I thought the podcast was gonna be about, but that happens all the time with solo episodes. So fun. I mean, not that I'm like, sorry, that's my bed. Not that I'm like speaking into a void, but like I'm saying all these things and I don't have any solutions, right? I'm just pointing out the obvious. Our healthcare system is fucked. America's fucked. Our situation with the police is fucked. Like I'm reading Asada Shakur's autobiography, who I didn't even know who she was until the book was given to me by Cafe Con Libros in their book subscription. And basically she was part of the Black Panther Party, and she gets arrested after being pulled over by the Jersey police on the Jersey Turnpike. And it's just the shit that they do to her. And they try to pin it on her that she shot first, so that the group in the car shot first. And it's obviously not the case. But just like, she goes on and goes into like, you know, kids being killed at like 10, 11, 12, 16 by police. And this is back in 1973. It's like nothing has changed with the police in America. And I think that's something that like we white people need to like finally realize. Like 2020 isn't this like weird cursed year. It's just this year that because we were forced to pause, we finally can't look away, and we have to, one, admit that we were looking the other way. And I say this not to absolve myself. I say this as a white woman to just like show other like white women, like you can like be part of the problem, but like once you learn the truth, you have to be part of the solution. And that like we suck in a lot of ways, even if you're not a quote unquote Karen. White feminism is a huge issue. How we've silenced people and women of any other race that's not white. It's how are we now a part of the solution? How are we working towards full equality? And that I'm just saying it to be like, look, it's like the first step is admitting that you are the problem, that you have a problem. And our problem is racism. There's no way that any of us haven't been racist. I mean, just the fact of living within such a racist system and looking the other way is huge, a huge, huge problem. And I did it too. It's okay to admit it. And I think the more that we're open about being on the wrong side, whether it was through ignorance or through they're knowing and just looking the other way. Like, we can't move forward until we look inside of ourselves and admit the truth. and do a lot of self-reflection. And we always say like doing the work, but like that's such a fucking vague thing to say. And I think now that's just like the new thing people say. It's like, oh, I'm doing the work. We need to stay away from that. It's basically, me and Khalid talked about it a couple episodes ago. Like, it's what we wanted men to do, right? To look inside themselves and to do a lot of inner work to get to another side so that we could be heard and listened. And it's what's being asked of us now and has been asked of us for a long time. So let's fucking do it. Let's show up. I feel like this is just like me like lecturing you, and I'm so sorry. I don't want to lecture. A lot of the times when I do these solo episodes is a lot of like self exploring for myself as well, taking you on that journey. And it's intimidating, and it's a little also freeing at the same time, but it's very vulnerable. And again, like, the solo episodes chart well, and so thank you for listening. There will be more stories, there will be more sex. We are starting to talk more about sex and whatnot, and dating. And I know, like, the first, I have not listened to the solo episodes from March and April. I kind of don't want to. I know they're dark. It was a very dark time in my life and in New York City's life. And with the impending school year coming up and like there's no solutions, there's kind of this like cloud or like this like aura of, are we just, is this going to be where the second wave starts that everyone's told us about? And we have no answers. We don't know. We still get, in New York City gets on average about 300 new cases a day, which is much better than like the 12,000, 18,000, I think, cases we were getting at our peak in April. And to be honest, I'm shocked that our percentages have stayed very low throughout this whole summer. Like back in April and March and even May, I was very anti like leaving the house. Like, we can't do that. We can't do that to people. I am outside a lot more now for sure. I have friends that I hang out with outside. No one hangs out inside. I have gotten in a car with friends, but we've all worn masks the whole time. So obviously, as more information and more facts have come out, my stance on things have changed. And it's been very, the summer in New York, while not anything like we thought it would be, has still been like very poetic and like very beautiful in the way that New York is so New York. And there's all these think pieces about New York being dead. And it's about people that are, it's white people that fucking are worth like $40 million or like fucking live in Connecticut. And that's not New York. That never was. And just like in true New York fashion, it's just found a way to be alive still. And it's really cool. And it's really inspiring. And it's very, it's like this breath of fresh air of just like, well, if the city can do it, like I can do it too. Though one thing that is hard is, well, there's a lot of things that are hard. Businesses are shuttering left and right, like small businesses, because of course, why would Cuomo and de Blasio do their fucking job, or the federal government, you know, aid these businesses? Who knows? I don't know. It's I was telling Aaron, it's infuriating to watch the arts and restaurants just be left out, like on this, like on a raft boat in the middle of this, like in the middle of the sea during like a goddamn like hurricane. When that is what truly makes New York, right? Like, no one comes here for the financial district except to see that fucking bull statue with the girl, which honestly is overrated. You don't come down for that. You come down to see plays, you come down to see up to see comedy, to eat at these five-star restaurants, to live in this culture of art and like diversity, and just so to watch like the governor and the mayor of your city totally turn a blind eye and be like, figure it out. It's just like, fuck you, man. Like, what do you want from us? But what I was saying was, it's the first exodus has happened, which was like all the rich people, right? They were like, I don't want to be here for the pandemic. Which, you know what? Not, I hate them, but I see where they're coming from. Like, I cannot stress to you enough how scary March and April were. So fucking scary. It truly didn't stop feeling scary until about June, like June 1st. And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, I promise. I just like, it's almost like prepping you guys. Like, we just hit 6 million cases and we're so numb to it. We're over 180,000 dead, like preventable deaths. Like, a lot of deaths in New York City were preventable. And I don't just blame Trump. I blame de Blasio and I blame Cuomo. Like, a lot of like just inept leadership. I just don't want you to be caught off guard, and I don't want it to happen to you guys or to another state, even though it is already happening to other states. And then like watching the schools has been really hard, especially college, where it's just like, it's just so dumb. They're like all brought, like, I don't know if you guys saw, but like University of Alabama just like announced like 1,000 cases with their students. And it's just like, we told you, don't do this. But don't get me wrong, New York is not any better. There's an outbreak at a SUNY college right now, which is the state of New York. It's so much. I think I'm just kind of nervous. You know, tomorrow, I'm recording on August 31st. Tomorrow is September. We're getting close to fall. And the summer was a really nice break for New York. And I hope we can keep it going. I don't know what the other side looks like. Like I said, I watch the numbers every day. I get my stats on New York from Gothamist, and that we've stayed level so much as so much has opened up with like outdoor dining and just like when I was in the park, like both times yesterday, it was packed. But again, it was also because it was truly like one of the most perfect days like ever. In the city, it's been like so like goddamn hot and humid, but it was like it's hot but not too hot. But that there hasn't been like a crazy spike in cases is, you know, kind of crazy. One, also, I'm okay. I have gotten a few like emails being like, are you okay? I'm okay. The episodes you're listening to are in April, and I was being very real. I think that's like my thing, is like being real. I was just being very like honest with you guys. I think people wanted to hear it. I think there is like, I don't know. There's this like weird energy of like, oh no, is our like vacation ending from coronavirus? I don't know. I do know people that still don't leave their house. They've been very scarred by it. It's, this whole year has been so eye-opening in so many different ways. And if you've gotten the time, if you've had the time to like do a lot of inner work, like I have, in the end of the day, I'm like, thank God. I see like my old me. Do you guys think we're going to get a vaccine? I don't know. I don't know. I think we're going to have to like write those out. Like the Spanish flu. I don't know. My other question is like, are we in the first wave still? Or are we seeing the second wave now? I don't know. I do wonder. We are still losing like 1,500 people a day. But I am kind of shocked the number isn't higher. And so I'm kind of wondering, like, did it mutate again? Like, is it just, it's more easily, it's more easily transmitted, but less lethal? I don't know. I am not a scientist. I am never going to pretend like I'm a scientist. I'm learning with you guys. Don't think that I think I know more than you. Absolutely fucking not. I would love to turn this episode around, though, and make it about sex. I'm literally just, like, thinking about the sex we had this week. We had really good sex this week. Again, I 100% will admit we were in a rut. And if you are too, just do something new. Just something slightly new. Like, we... it should be fine. We had sex in front of the mirror this week. Super hot. We randomly have, like, 3 mirrors in our bedroom. One is, like... so cheap. It's like, it was like $9 at Walmart. I bought it when I moved up to the city. And it's one of those like it's almost like plexiglass. Like, if you're looking at it from a different angle, it makes you look really skinny, or then it makes you look really fat. And who cares? But we had sex in front of it and it was great. I don't remember the other sex. We've just had like a lot of sex this week. Let me just, like, rub it in your face again. We just had, like, a lot of sex this week. I miss dressing up. I'm looking at my closet. I'm seeing a lot of things that I wore. I miss that. I don't miss babysitting. Though there is a good chance that I might have to go back to babysitting. Oh, my God, guys. Oh, my God. Okay. It's not about sex, but it's hilarious. There's a good chance that after... unemployment's weird. And if you're in New York, feel free to email me. I have talked to my accountant about what supposedly it can be extended to, like, 59 weeks in New York. It's different state by state. You'd have to look for your state. And there's, like, certain things that your state has to qualify for to get, like, extended unemployment. But New York does qualify because there's millions of us without jobs right now. But it's so confusing. So, like, I'm currently on unemployment, and so I'm not to make a new, not to file a new request. I don't know what you call it. Claim. It's not to file a new claim. I literally have to let my unemployment, like just end, like, go to all the way to week 26, and then the next week see if I get more unemployment, if they, like, reload me with, like, new days. It's so confusing. So you basically, it's like this weird waiting game. So I've just been like, all right, Natalie, you might have to go back to babysitting. And I'm saying, like, within my neighborhood, because I don't want to get on the subway right now. Anywho, I have been reading some of these fucking job postings, and honestly, they're so bad. They're hilarious. One person's, like, looking for, like, a live-in nanny for, like, either shift, like, the morning or afternoon shift. One was, like, we're looking for a virtual babysitter that can, like, keep our kids satisfied for 3 hours straight in front of the computer. You know what could keep them satisfied 3 hours straight in front of a screen? Fucking Blue's Clues, bitch. Like, just, it's crazy. I almost want to apply for the virtual one because they were, like, arts and crafts, but, like, nothing too messy. That it's not, gets too messy, like, on our side. And just, like, blah, 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 blah. Or you have people that it's, like, live in, and they're, like, we want them to live right next to us. They cannot go into the subway. They cannot be around other people. They must take COVID seriously. They must wear a mask inside with us. They must wear a mask with their lover or whoever they are living with, because we don't want COVID. And it's, like, bitch, no, you don't get to, like, I understand this is, like, a little different, like, it's a fucking pandemic, but you don't get to tell your help how to live their goddamn lives. I get it. Like, I'd have no problem wearing a mask inside. But the thing is, I would want them to wear masks too, and they wouldn't. And that's the problem. That's the discrepancy. And that is why babysitting is such bullshit sometimes. It's crazy. I actually turned down a job that was like a 5-minute walk from my apartment. Like, I know the building they live in. And they seem chill. They seem chill. They were the most chill that I've seen so far in this whole like situation. And I was like, cool, I'm going to be on vacation from Tuesday to Sunday and we can talk after that. And they texted me on Saturday and I was like, nope, you're not respecting my time at all. And that is a major red flag and I'm walking away. But it's just been fucking hilarious. And I've actually decided to wait because, like I said earlier, like, we have no clue what's going on with schools. De Blasio has no idea. This little bitch actually finally just said they can, like, schools can use outdoor space, but that the schools have to figure it out. That he said that last week, and allegedly kids are going back to school September 10th. So you are such a little bitch. I hate you so much, De Blasio. I feel like this has just become a rant of what's it like in this city right now. There's music everywhere. I live close to Prospect Park, and every evening at the top of Prospect Park, there is a band that plays like every day. And then at the Boathouse, there's this really cool band that plays like every night until like midnight. And people come and watch and like dance. When this pandemic is over, if you have not been, you have to go to New York. There is no place like it. There really isn't. And I know I'm biased, but I've wanted to live here since I was 13. And now I've lived here 9 years and I don't want anything else still. Even in a goddamn pandemic. Even when we were the global epicenter, I cannot picture myself anywhere else still. This city, like, will destroy you. It will eat you up. It'll spit you out, and you will come out a better person every time. And I've had the city thrown in my face a lot. I have definitely changed in the 9 years that I've been here. I am definitely, liberals aren't liberals anymore, right? Like liberals are basically centrist. Democrats are basically centrist now. So I'm definitely like, just like on the left, like I've said in the past, like it's called democratic socialist. And I'm also just saying this too, like if you go through this, but like something my parents loved to say was that like the city changed you. And it hurts so much. It hurts so much for so long because, you know, you're growing, right? But you still want to see your mom and your dad as like your mommy and daddy. That sounded sexual in the way that I did not want it to. You don't want choices that you make in your life to be perceived as bad. And that's what it felt like. It felt like I was getting like ganged up on by my family. I don't talk about this much actually on the podcast because for a long time I was like, if I don't talk about it, it's not real. And now it's also like, then it turned into like, I don't want to like hurt them. But it's funny, right? Like they hurt me so much. And just like, you know, having a therapist and like learning what that means. And it's like all on them and not on you. And learning to not feel bad. Like I don't feel bad anymore. But if you do, if you have with like, you know, politics are, you know, in everyday conversation as they should be. And if you have like family that are opposite or think way differently than you. And it's funny how much people want to try to hurt you to make you agree with them. And so just kind of like what I was saying, when it was thrown in my face, like, oh, the city's changed you, it's changed you. They made it seem like I was like the literal devil when in reality, the city changed me to care more about people that I don't know and be more empathetic and want basic human rights for every person in the world. And like, that's, I find that like fucking hilarious now that someone close to me would try to make me feel bad about caring about people. Like, goddamn, I'm so sad that you haven't changed. And I don't know if that just comes with like growth or what, like where that turn came from. I mean, definitely therapy. I don't know. Are you guys going through that? Or are you having like rough realizations about your family? I had a friend that was on Twitter being like, just so sad about how much their parents, like Trump. And it was very similar. Like, she was just like, I'm so disappointed in that you like Trump. And they're like, we're disappointed that you don't. And it's just like, do you not see the difference? Like, what you're arguing? I don't know. People are dumb. I guess all boomers should be in fucking therapy. I think if therapy was like required, not that it should be required, but God, therapy is amazing. I love it so much. I have therapy in like 4 hours, and I actually don't know what I'm going to talk about. I always say that. I'm always like, my therapy session always starts the same way via the phone. She'll call and be like, hi, how are you? And she's like, I'm well. How are you doing this week? And I'm like, I'm doing pretty well. And all things considered, she was like, all things considered. Like, I say that every fucking time. And then I'll be like, I don't know what to talk about this week. And she'll be like, okay, I feel like you do. And I always have something to talk about. Do it. Do therapy. Therapies are the best. There is literally no sex in this episode. My advice is to masturbate. Last week was very hard. There's a good chance this week will be hard too. And, you know, just take up some space. Say no to friends. Feel free to reevaluate your friendships. Maybe it's time to let some people go. It's a hard one too. I'm learning that too as I go through this pandemic, that like there's definitely some friendships in my life that were toxic, and me toxic too. Like, we just weren't good for each other. And I think that's hard, but I also think it's a really good lesson. And it's growth, and that you don't need anyone. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think we put a lot of importance, I just burped, sorry guys, a lot of value into our friendships, as we should. But I think there sometimes can be this like feast or famine like idea with it, of just like, if we're not like the best of the friends in the world, we are the worst of the friends. And it could also just be like, oh, maybe like just like romantic relationships, like platonic relationships, you know, have their ebbs and flows, and sometimes they end. And I think I talked about this with Kenes. I used to always blame myself. And it's pretty liberating to find out like, oh, it's not always you. I mean, were you a part of it? Yeah, there's a good chance of that. Or it could be that person's going through shit. And maybe you don't need to go through that shit with them. And you wish them the best of luck and that they're happy and that they're okay. But maybe their drain was just too draining on you. And you're not selfish for saying that, especially if it's someone that's not willing to meet you halfway or explain where they're coming from, if they just kind of ice you out. Ask yourself, do you need that in your life? What good has it brought you? I think it's important that we ask ourselves these questions in platonic relationships just as much as we do in romantic relationships. And that you're not selfish and you're not crazy for wanting to do that. You're not crazy for holding your friends to a high standard. Make sure you're not holding them to an unachievable high standard, which is something that I have definitely done in the past. Excuse me as I lose my voice. I've definitely done that. And that's also not okay. Like I said, like with this like endless amount of time of like self-reflection and learning and growth, like it will also show you like your toxic habits. I have a very bad habit of trying to save, quote unquote, or help people. No one needs to be saved. You can help them if they explicitly ask for it, but why are you putting all this energy into something that, one, they might not have even asked for, and two, you have no right to assume someone needs something like that. It's important to step back and be like, oh, this is also not okay. And something, I'm going to end with this. I had some shit happen last week that hurt personally, and I'm not going to go into that. But I asked my therapist, like, are people aware of like how much their actions hurt people or their lack of actions hurt people that allegedly they care a lot about? And she was just kind of like, it depends on the person. If they're curious, then yeah, they'll change. But that means a lot. That means that they're, you know, looking within and asking, why did I do that? Why does this make me feel that way? And the thing is, a lot of people never do that. And I've learned that the people that I have let go of in my life were actually never self-reflective. And a lot of them, I think, to this day still aren't. I don't know if that's something you can learn or if it's something inherited, if that makes sense. I don't know. But I will end on that. And just the idea of like, we should, this podcast went on some journeys, that we should be constantly, I was going to say aware, but we should be looking at our platonic relationships as much as we look at our romantic relationships. And we should be looking at our role in both of them. And is it supportive or is it toxic? Because a lot of times, like, a toxic relationship doesn't mean it was one-sided toxicness. It can be you two. And I think learning that, like I said earlier in this episode, it's okay to be like a part of the problem. But once you realize that you're part of the problem, once you've like figured that out, like you can't not be a part of the solution. Or otherwise, you've learned nothing. I hope that makes sense. I hope this episode wasn't a lot of word vomit to you. I hope you liked it. I love constant appreciation and validation. So that being said, please go like, subscribe, rate, review. Thank you for being here. Keep washing your hands. Keep wearing your masks outside. Keep closing the toilet lid when you flush because, you know, germs come out. And thank you. Thank you again for just kind of letting me talk and do this. Sometimes I need it. Sometimes I need it more than I realize it. So thank you. I appreciate you. I hope you appreciate me too, because you know I love it. Again, thank you guys. And remember the Patreon if you want to. I love it. Thank you. Okay, bye. See you guys next week.